In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are now on the cusp of the beginning of Holy Week. For me, actually, Holy Week begins with Lazarus Saturday, because everything is intertwined. As we see from the Gospel reading today, that the raising of Lazarus was just before the entry into Jerusalem, and that many people were very interested in seeing Jesus because of this raising of Lazarus, because it was never been before heard of. They'd heard of people being raised from the dead, probably even seen it in Jesus' ministry, but nobody that had been 4 days dead. So the raising of Lazarus is very much associated with the entry into Jerusalem, and then, of course, we begin Holy Week, culminating, of course, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do we read the epistle today? The epistle's really not particularly about the cross or the resurrection. There's epistles about the resurrection. There's epistles about the cross. There's epistles about suffering. But this epistle isn't about any of those things. It's from Philippians. It does say, rejoice, let your moderation be known among all men, the Lord is at hand. And of course, the Lord was at hand when he came into Jerusalem, and most people did not recognize him. Oh, they might have called out Hosanna, but most did not truly believe, as would be seen only a few days later. So I think this epistle is warning us. The Lord is at hand. He came into his own, and his own rejected him in Jerusalem. And he comes to us, who are now also his own. And we, many of us, reject him. In fact, I would boldly say that all of us reject him by many things that we do in our daily lives, by the way we live, the way we think, the priorities we have. Let's not pretend that we completely follow the gospel. But we are called to follow the gospel, and the Lord is truly at hand. We should never forget this. The Lord is no more present now than he will be on Friday, Good Friday, or in the middle of August, or in February 5th. The Lord is always at hand, and we should recall this. Now, there is something that will help you always believe and know that the Lord is at hand. This will keep you from sin, by the way. Always being aware that you are a Christian. You are called to be holy. And if you know this, then you'll be saved from many sins that are part of your natural character, part of your natural inclinations. If you remember that I am a Christian, I am not to act in this way, that will save you from much sin. Sometimes we're saved from sin by thinking we'll have to confess that sin. That's okay if it saves you from sin, but the perfect way to be saved from sin is to know that it is not according to the will of your Heavenly Father, and that you don't want to displease him because he has done so much for you. Not because of fear or that you might have to confess the sin, but because of love and gratitude. We'll see an example of gratitude in just a moment. So St. Paul tells them, the Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. This is how we will always be aware that the Lord is at hand. This is how we will save ourselves from many sins, especially those sins of habit that just occur day in, day out, moment by moment, wasting time, not really getting anything done, cursing when we're angry, being frustrated when things don't go our way, all those kinds of habitual sins. If we would be aware that the Lord is at hand, then indeed we would be saved from these sins. And how are we aware? If we let everything be known to God in prayer and supplication, then indeed, we would always be thinking of him. But he says more than this, more than just pray, because most of us are not very good at praying. Most of us don't pray very much. We should really be praying, as the apostle says, without ceasing. And there are ways that you can learn to pray without ceasing. And here is one of these ways. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue or praise, think on these things. Now, I would tell you that most likely none of these things will be in the news or on the Yahoo homepage. Not these things. These things are spiritual things. And if you school yourself to think of that which is good and honest and just and of good report, it takes time, it takes effort. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's not fun. But you will learn. And spiritual things take time to develop a taste for. We immediately have a taste for sinful things. But spiritual things, it takes a time to acquire a taste for them. And once we have acquired that taste, we want nothing else. So this is how we will be aware that the Lord is at hand all the time. Not just on a festive day like Palm Sunday when we have the palms in our hands and the church is adorned in green and we're going to do a procession later and we sing the festal antiphons and we have fish today. All those things are wonderful. But the Lord will just as much be at hand tomorrow and the next day and the next. Will we be with the Lord? We will if we follow this epistle. So I think this is why the epistle is appointed for today. Because if we are to get anything out of Holy Week, we have to have the attitude of trying to be like a miner looking for precious stones. We must try to glean what we can from the hymns and from the scriptures. Find what is good, what is honest, what is edifying, and hold on to it. So let's find what is good and honest and edifying in the reading from the gospel today. And by the way, sometimes you can find what is not edifying in order to edify yourself. Because bad examples can sometimes be as profitable as good ones. So, let's look at Mary, the sister of Lazarus and of Martha. Only a few days beforehand, our Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead. And then 6 days before Passover, he comes back to Bethany and he is having a supper. Or they're having a supper for him with Lazarus present, just like a normal person eating and drinking. The fathers say this was to prove that Lazarus was no phantom. His resurrection was real and complete. He was just a normal man now, no longer sick. And Mary, she took a pound of precious ointment and anointed him. This is the different woman than the one who anointed him in the house of Simon the leper, the Pharisee. Mary anointed him because of her gratitude. Perhaps she had some idea that our Lord was to go before his great exploit of his passion. Perhaps she had some idea. It seems that the apostles and his followers, his disciples, really didn't understand what was about to happen. But perhaps Mary had some inkling. We don't know. But certainly her anointing him was an act of great gratitude and of love. The things that are precious to us, we should keep close to us. So Mary did this. But on the other hand, Judas was present, and he saw the anointing, and he was indignant. Because he said that oil would be sold for basically a whole year's wages of a workman. And what a waste it was. But St. John gets down to the actual hidden motives of Judas. It's interesting that St. John exposes Judas, because St. John, of course, being the apostle of love, was very mild, full of love. But he also told the truth. Judas was a thief. He had the bag, and whatever was put therein, he'd take a little for himself. That is why he spoke against the giving of the anointing of our Lord. And so we see that hidden motivations will kill. What happened to Judas? He was planning and plotting to turn Jesus in. And he did. For 30 pieces of silver. Not very much money, really. And he did it because his avarice consumed him. In the beginning of our Lord's ministry, Judas participated. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He made the lame walk. He went out, just as the other apostles, two by two, healing and preaching all over Israel. And probably at the beginning, he was a believer. But he had a hidden passion. This is truly terrifying, brothers and sisters. Because Judas didn't start out all bad. He just had a hidden passion of avarice. And so, he stole money. And eventually, that stealing of money stole him and enslaved him to such an extent that he gave up our Lord for only a few pieces of silver. It is clear that he was quite sorry after he did it. We know that he hanged himself. He didn't repent. He was only sorry. This is a terrible tragedy. So this example we should be careful to note. You better be careful to see that there are not any hidden passions in you. Perhaps you say, well, I don't have any avarice. Well, perhaps you have some other hidden passion that obscures holiness from you and makes it impossible for you to become holy. You better look carefully. That's what this story about Judas is preserved so carefully for us for, so that we know we had better look into our hearts and see if there's anything hidden in us. Let's look at the people of the Jews, that St. John says, much people of the Jews that came to Bethany. Bethany was very close to Jerusalem, 2.5 miles away. So people could easily walk to it. Lazarus was well known, and he became very, very well known after his resurrection. So people wanted to see Jesus, but they really wanted to see Lazarus, St. John says. They came that they might see Lazarus also. Our Lord is not a carnival sideshow. Our Lord offers the words of truth and life. But many people came, not because they were interested in salvation, but because they were just interested in the latest news of the day, the gossip of the day. Most of those people, they didn't find their way. They just saw Lazarus, who was quite interesting, quite amazing. And then they went on with their lives. Let's not be like that, brothers and sisters. Idle curiosity is not going to help you any. Come to the Lord, desiring everything from Him and wanting to give Him everything. Don't be like those people. Now the chief priests, they had many hidden motivations. They were very angry when Lazarus was raised from the dead, because it was an indisputable miracle. Lazarus was well known. Many, many, many people were at the funeral. Many, many people were still there in the days of mourning when he was in the tomb 4 days, and the Lord opened the tomb and he stank and people smelled the stench. And then the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came right out. It was an indisputable miracle. It wasn't where anybody could say, well, he was just asleep. And the Pharisees hated Jesus for this. The reason they hated him was because he upset the status quo. They were politicians. They liked leadership. They liked power. And the Lord was not about those things. The Lord was about love and humility and sacrifice and obedience. They didn't want any of that. And so they wanted to kill Jesus. And of course, they kept it quiet only amongst themselves, but they waited for the right time. Again, hidden motivations will kill the soul. Then there were the many people that came and saw Jesus in Jerusalem. He enters into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, which was prophesied. Behold, your king comes to you, seated on the colt, the foal of an ass. And the people threw down palm leaves and limbs of trees, put their garments in the way. They were receiving him as a triumphant king, just as they did in the ancient world when someone came triumphant from war. But the majority of those people who cried, "God saves," that's what Hosanna means. The majority of them didn't really believe and didn't stay with Jesus. And when he was judged, they entered into his judgment. And the reason they didn't stay with him was because they didn't have any character. The character that's described in Philippians. If you don't have character, you're in big trouble. If you're not by nature an honest person, you had better weep and lament and beg the Lord to help you to become an honest person. If you're not by nature good and caring for people, beg the Lord to help you. Everything can be helped if you ask the Lord for help. If you don't, well, then you'll just go on living and then you'll die. And you won't have received the Lord. So it's very, very important to learn of your passions and to fight against them. Most of them are quite hidden. You have passions, I have passions that we're not even aware of yet. But they motivate us to do many, many things. There's many more examples of things to do, things to not do in the coming readings and services for Holy Week. It's very, very important that we meditate on these things, because this is what will help us really understand the resurrection. The resurrection is not about a nice, beautiful candle service at the beginning of Sunday, right at midnight. It's not about cracking eggs. It's not about kulich and about the Greek paschal bread. It is about the resurrection that occurs in our souls because it occurred with Christ. The way we really understand it is by meditating on these things that are good and honest and true. So may God help you. I encourage you strongly, don't let Pascha be just when you come on Saturday night and walk around the church with the candles, sing Christ is risen, Christos voskrese, and perhaps then even go home. Don't let it be that. Let it be instead where you prepare yourself with these beautiful services. Especially, I would say, Thursday is very important, Thursday night, when we read the 12 Gospels. Basically, everything to do with the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ up to and including his burial. Saturday morning, when our Lord rested in the tomb. Very important. And then, of course, Pascha. The other services are quite important also. I think if you're capable, you should come to them all. But those especially, Thursday night and Friday night. Oh, did I not mention Friday night? Friday night, the Lamentations. So Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, and Pascha. If you're not accustomed to these kinds of services, oh yeah, you'll get tired. Your feet will hurt. You'll get a little bored. You'll feel like you have to get some air. All that kind of stuff. But that's better than being at home and watching TV. It's better for your soul. And you'll learn something. So I ask you to come to these services and learn with the idea that you will search for the things that are good and true and honest and of good report, as the apostle tells us so that your soul would be edified. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.